These several weeks have been on this parable of the sower and this theme of, are we really hearers of the word who become doers of the word? Are we among that minority, it seems, that really respond to Jesus' teaching and it manifests in our life? I actually want to start from Luke 8:15, which is Luke's version of the parable. And in his explanation at the end, he says, "As for that on the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Father, we ask you to unlock your word, to open it to us, to bring conviction, to bring all your grace to bear on us so that we can do the things that you have given us to be able to do, to be good soil, to be those who hold your word in our hearts, that we would have good and honest hearts and we would persist in holding your word there so that your word can produce the fruit that you want it to. We bless you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so last week I had, I believe, challenged people to consider a scripture or a promise or an idea that you know is true, but that doesn't translate for you. That you could not say, I have a testimony of experience of this promise. And tonight, actually what I want to do is maybe give you a further step in doing that. What I want to talk about tonight is memorizing Scripture and meditating on Scripture. Let me just open with a sort of a controversial, I don't know if it's controversial. Let me read this quote. "This practice of memorizing the scriptures is more important than a daily quiet time. For as we fill our minds with these great passages and have them available for our meditation, quiet time takes over the entirety of our lives." All right? Stellis Willard, his challenge, his statement, and I want you to consider that. You know, that's sort of one of the Ten Commandments of being an evangelical Christian, right? Is you have quiet time. Okay? If there was a Ten Commandments of being an evangelical Protestant, that would be one of them. You got to have a quiet time. And he's saying, well, actually, memorizing Scripture is more important than that. Let me read another one. I've actually, over the years, not read much Chuck Swindoll. Heard him on the radio a lot when I was a new believer. Anybody here ever read Charles Swindoll? A lot of people are familiar with him. He says this, "I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture." That's right. No other single discipline is more useful and rewarding than this. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. So my challenge up front, I'll tell you exactly my challenge up front. Become a person who habitually memorizes Scripture. Become a person who habitually ingests more passages. And eventually you can become, as it were, a walking, talking Bible. And I don't mean going around wagging your finger at people and quoting scriptures. I mean you have the scriptures available to you in your heart wherever you are. They are there, available for you to just take off the shelf of your mind and pull out and mull over as you're doing whatever you may be doing. That's my challenge. I think every Christian should make a habit of memorizing Scripture on a regular basis. And increasing that store of scriptures they memorize. So let me just say a few things up front about this. A lot of people think that once we started printing, we actually knew less, which is ironic. But I think there's something to it. Once we started printing, we don't have to remember it anymore. It's written down, all right? But we don't realize that before that, for a couple thousand years, people learned by hearing and memorizing. And people had a greater capacity, or their capacity to memorize things was just much more exercised because they lived in a culture where you assumed it, right? How many people remember phone numbers anymore? I mean, when I was a kid, I probably had 20, 30 phone numbers just bam, right? And, you know, you got pretty good at memorizing them the first time you heard them just because you knew there was no way to recall them, right? You had to memorize them. Well, that was the way it was with a lot of learning, all right? And I don't want to go into great detail, just to say, I think our knowledge of Scripture, and when I say our knowledge of Scripture, I mean our familiarity with it, it's in us, is much less than even our illiterate Christian forebears. Those Christians of the early days who maybe couldn't read, but heard the word all the time, said the word all the time, and got the word in them all the time. Does that make sense? That's my assertion. There's this, and not many, I don't know how many people have seen this movie, The Matrix, science fiction movie. There's a scene in the movie where one of the characters needs to know how to fly a helicopter. And she, without going into great detail, she's able to call this computer operator who can download the knowledge of how to fly a helicopter into her mind. And bam, she can fly a helicopter. I think that's a myth we like about technology. I think that we like that idea that somehow technology will get us around that process of having to go through the steps of really mastering something. Does that make sense? I'm willing to bet there's never going to be a day that you could go up to somebody and download into their brain Virtuoso Violinist. It's never going to happen. You're never going to be able to get around, because this is the way God made us. And so the same thing is true of technology. It's a wonderful tool. I love the tools we have, and I thank God for them. But as a substitute for being a people who have the Scripture living inside us more and more, there's nothing for it. And technology will never replace that. Does that make sense? Let me do a brief sweep through some scriptures that just highlight how important knowing the Word in this way was. The first stop is a pretty obvious stop, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. This is, if you'll remember, Moses not getting to go into the promised land. He's received the word from God, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land. He's dying, and this is his last words to them. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words that I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." All right? And he goes and he elaborates, I think, what it means that they would be on their heart. He says, the first word he uses, repeat, recite. It's not just teach them, it's recite them. All right? And I think that's very important. It's not just know this or memorize this and you get a gold star in Sunday school class. It's repeat them. How many people know that kids, everybody, but kids know all kinds of things that they hear repeated over and over and over, and they come up with stuff. You're like, where did you hear that? It's, they've just heard this stupid song over and over or whatever. It's reciting the Word of God, saying it aloud for you and other people to hear and going over it. All right. So he says, listen, one way that the Word gets in your heart is you say it over and over, aloud. You speak it. The next word is converse. This is where he says, talk about it. When you lay down at night, when you get up in the morning, when you're walking on the road, when you're sitting at home, converse about the Word of God. So he says, not just recite it, but say, so what does that mean? What does that mean to love God with all our heart? Discuss it. Toss it around in conversations. That's a good question. How often is the Word a part of your conversations? Discussion of the Word. It says, post them, bind them as signs on your hands. And I think significant about this is it's not necessarily that you're reading them there, but it's a reminder of those commands. Does that make sense? If you've ever seen the phylacteries, it is a visual reminder of the Word. And sometimes just a visual, like having a scripture posted around your house, is a visual reminder of the whole thing, right? Especially if you've had it memorized. It sort of brings you back to the content of it and calls you back to it in your heart. And then he says, write them, carve them, actually, on the gates of your house, so that in your coming and your going and other people's coming and going, they see the Word and its central place in your life. Now, I would just point out, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do this, but I would just point out in all of this, there's no mention of reading it. Okay, and when we read, we do this. Okay, even if they were to talk about reading it, it would always be allowed. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but in the history of the world, reading in your head goes back about 300 AD. Before then, when people read, they read it aloud. Did y'all know that? There was no such thing as sitting there and reading like this. Okay, it was a new thing. Augustine St. Augustine saw a Christian bishop in, I think it was Rome, and he went to read the Bible, and he didn't hear anything. And he was like, he's not reading. What's he doing? All right? It was a new phenomena. So my point is only hearing the word, speaking the word is important. Think about it. When you read the word, what's engaged? Your mouth and your ears, not just your mind. And by the way, I know for me, and I think this is just the way we're made, I am far more engaged when my mouth and my ears are engaged than just my mind. My mind wanders a whole lot easier, but my mouth and my ears keep it on track a whole lot better. All right, so Moses institutes a culture of memory. These words are just to be going all the time, and that's what gets it in your heart. Then, of course, Joshua 1:8. God tells Joshua, in many ways and multiple times, especially in the beginning of the book, he's Moses' successor. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Right? Not, you know, read it every day, but say it every day. It should be in your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. By the time we get to the Psalms, most people think the Psalms were arranged and compiled a lot later, and that Psalm 1 was put at the beginning as an introduction to all the Psalms. And Psalm 1 is maybe the scripture in the Bible par excellence of an encouragement to memorization and meditation. All right, how many people have Psalm 1 memorized? Psalm 1, I think that's like stage 1. If you're ever going to memorize, maybe Psalm 1 is the place to start. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It's an important word, delight. In the scripture, it makes it pretty clear that you can choose what you delight in. Our understanding of liking something is we're sort of just subject to what we like. But in scripture, what you set your attention and your heart on is what you delight in. And the delight of this man is the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. This word meditate, I think I've mentioned this many times. It is to mutter or murmur. Isaiah uses the image of what a lion does with its prey. When it's caught its prey and it's gnawing on it, it sort of purrs over its prey with delight and attention. Eugene Peterson says this is what a dog does with a bone. Ever seen a dog worry a bone? There's not much more contented creature than a dog with a bone. And seeing what a dog can do with a bone, like a real bone, they get into that marrow, they get all that sinewy, leathery stuff. I mean, they get it all. They work it. And that is a great picture of what this word is about. It is a murmuring, and a literal, just sort of speaking the word, you know, going over it as you go through your day. So at any rate, the psalm goes on, and again, I encourage people to memorize that. One guy compared this word to letting a slowly dissolving lozenge imperceptibly dissolve in your mouth over time. Right, you take time on that. You don't, like me, you bite it right up. You slowly let that thing dissolve. All right, that is what it means to meditate day and night on the Word of God. And then the Psalms in general, it's worth pointing out, and many people know this, that they're full of tools for memorization. Everybody knows what a mnemonic is, right? It's so hard to say mnemonic and not say demonic, or people hear demonic. A mnemonic is those little tools we use to remember something, right? Every good boy does fine. That's the musical staff. Anyway, I don't remember. Is that the musical staff? Yeah. We have all these little devices. Well, the Psalms are full of it, which indicates to us that they were intended to be memorized, right? That in Israel, the culture was a complete mastery of these things. So, for example, one of the little mnemonic devices people are familiar with is the acrostic, ABC, right? Where every line will begin with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all right? The most famous of this is Psalm 119. Now listen, Psalm 119 takes it to a much larger level. All right? What? Did I missay something? So in Psalm 119, there are 22 sections corresponding to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and those sections are about 8 lines, and every line of each section begins with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Does that make sense? So 8 lines of Aleph, 8 lines of Beit. The point of all this is those were tools for memorizing. So Psalm 119 was a memory passage, all right? And as were most of the Psalms. They were there to be memorized. In fact, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know, he said that a lot of people said that Psalm 119 was one of the dreariest Psalms, you know, just this sort of over and over. He actually, his letters say that when he was in prison, that was one of the most delightful and consoling passages for him to chew over, was the delight in God's Word. So at any rate, the fact is the Psalms were there to be memorized. And of course, Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart." And the word there is not hot, it's treasured in my heart. It's what you do to valuable treasure. And I think that's significant. What do people do with valuable treasure? Well, in the pirate movies, they bury it, right? And they know where it is. Well, we're talking about good soil. You take the treasure of God's word and you hide it in your heart like somebody would do with something very precious, supremely valuable. Thy word have I treasured up in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then, of course, in the New Testament, there's a lot of evidence of memory. But I think I've sort of established that. Does everybody, in the early church, it's pretty clear that a lot of people knew many of the letters of Paul by heart. And again, many of these people that knew these by heart were illiterate. All right? It's because they would read them out in church. Paul said, give yourself, Timothy. One of the things he says that he should give himself to regularly is the reading of the word, is the hearing and the reading of the word. So it's a key thing. Just a few more things. There have been many, many people, more than you would imagine, more common, not just sort of rabbis or pastors, who knew much of the scripture by heart. All right? There were many monasteries where in order to get in, you had to know all of the New Testament and all the Psalms by heart just to get in. That was one of the requirements. But there have been many stages of church life like that. Let me just say this. If you can't memorize, it's not because you can't memorize, it's because you haven't. You can. And it is one of the indispensable tools for growing in Christ, for becoming fruitful, for taking the word, a truth in Scripture, and letting it get into your life. Let me read one more quote, and then I want to just go through some tips, some explanation of how to memorize. Let's see. Christians don't simply learn or study or use Scripture. We assimilate it. Take it into our lives in such a way that it gets metabolized into acts of love, cups of cold water, mission into the world, healing and evangelism and justice in Jesus' name, hands raised in adoration to the Father, feet washed in company with the Son. So it gets assimilated. And it only gets assimilated when it's available in our hearts. So what I want to do now is I want to give you some steps for memorizing. These are just some things that have helped me. They're not the absolute steps. You have to figure out what works for you. And then I want to talk specifically about taking times to meditate on passages of Scripture. All right? So first, just some tips for memorizing. The first thing I would say is memorize a larger passage, a chapter, a section. Don't just memorize a verse. I think it's important to learn to memorize a larger section. Again, Psalm 1, if you've never done much of this, Psalm 1's a great place to start. It will, by the way, I believe because the Word is associated with the living Word, it endlessly opens up. I mean, there's always more there than the first time you see it, or the second time, or the third. Always. I'm absolutely convinced of that because Psalm 1, I just keep finding stuff and keep finding connections with other places in Scripture. But at any rate, pick a longer passage. And again, if I could relate it to last week, you might want to pick a passage that's related to some challenge or something that you're saying, God, I don't understand this and I want to. I don't live this and I want to. Targeted memorization. In fact, I would say our hearts are like a garden. And in any garden, there's plants that you want that have different roles, and there's plants that you don't want. And we go through our hearts, and we say, God, what are some plants in here that we don't want? How do I uproot them? And then what can I put in their place? Does that make sense? Resentment, rejection, doesn't matter. What are thoughts that are on repeat in your heart that produce bad fruit in your life? Some things are harder to uproot than others. I don't know, y'all, everybody knows about the Japanese honeysuckle that's around here. That stuff is very difficult to get up. So it may take help. But the bottom line is our hearts are like a garden. And what we want as we go on in life is a garden full of beautiful plants that are pieces of what God has done in Christ that we can go back to. Does that make sense? So you pick a longer passage, memorize it section by section. A verse a day or a verse every 2 days, whatever. Break it up and take it bit by bit. Don't get too ambitious. By the way, I was thinking before church, in high school, I memorized a long soliloquy in Hamlet. I don't know how many lines it was, but it was pretty long. I don't know how I did it. I just did it. We can do it. It's not something I did a lot, but we're able to do it. So at any rate, break it up bit by bit. And there's lots of little things you can do. Like I said, it is easier to memorize it if you say it than if you just read it. It really is. Writing it is very helpful. There was a preacher, I can't remember his name, maybe some of you have, oh, it's Holy Hubert. How many people have heard of Holy Hubert? He was a guy that preached on the UC Berkeley campus for years. I think this is him. He felt called to preach. He was not a reader. He was not very educated, and he didn't know what to do. He felt called to memorize lots of scripture, and he felt like God told him to write the passage of scripture he wanted to memorize in three times in three colors. And he would do green, red, and blue. And he memorized, I think, the whole Bible that way, eventually. Now, we actually do know that, just on the scientific side, the more input can be connected with something you're trying to memorize, the more you'll hold on to it. So color, I mean, he was on to something. He just didn't know what he was on to. Does that make sense? So again, hearing it, saying it, those things help. I have used an app on my iPhone, although I think you could do this on any device, where you record what you want to memorize, and you just put it on loop, and you listen to it a lot. And then this app I have will blank out sections incrementally for you to be able to fill in. I think it's called Memorize Something. And I don't, but there's a lot of apps out there, and I'm not necessarily plugging that one out. I think it was free. My point is simply, figure out how to get it bit by bit. Review is important. Third, be sure to get it precisely and confidently. I think this is important. What? Yeah, be sure to get it precisely and confidently. When I say confidently, I don't mean Barney Fife-like. You remember? Barney Fife had to memorize the preamble to the Constitution. Y'all remember that scene? It's a classic scene. We should. It's great. Because Barney's like, oh, yeah, I had to memorize that in seventh grade. I've got a cold. And Andy winds up having to feed him every word he doesn't know at all. So, I mean, confidently, where you do. You really have it. And precisely, check yourself. Go back and check yourself. And be sure you've got it precisely. All right, four. Put it on replay in your mind. And what I mean by this is you look for opportunities in your day, and there are many, when you are doing some task or resting and your mind doesn't have to be engaged in anything high level. Okay, when you're driving is perfect. Turn off the radio and go over the passage or be listening to the passage. You're in the shower, go over the passage. You're going to sleep. I seriously recommend people try this. And you say, I'm going to go over the passage until I'm asleep. You know how you get a song you heard before you go to bed and the next morning it's the first thing, you know, it gets in your mind and it's an earworm? You can control that process and decide what the earworm will be. So you put what you're memorizing on your mind. And so you make the habit of, with the passage you're memorizing, just at any given time that you don't have to be doing something else, it's going over in your mind. All right. Five, have specific times of meditation, which I'll get to, I'll elaborate more on in a minute. Six, and these are all just tips, read what others have said about your passage. After you've done this for a while, it's good to read what other people have said. If you can find commentaries or books that maybe are about this passage or that make comments on this passage, it's good to read what other Christians have said about it. Seven, discuss it with people. Tell people what you're memorizing and talk about what you're getting or questions you have about it. And then finally, eight, record your insights. And by the way, you always go back to it. You know, to me, memorizing a scripture is like learning a song for a musician. You memorize it and learn it so to perform it. I don't mean perform like prove something to anybody, but to go through it. Does that make sense? I mean, the Word of God is full of masterpieces. And you learn it not to have checked it off and, you know, put your check in your whatever, but so that you can go back over it all the time. And bring it back to memory. And be sure you record the things you've learned and share of those things. All right, any questions on those? Those are just some thoughts on memorizing.
Could you just read them off real quick?
Yeah, yeah. Pick a passage, preferably a longer one, not just an isolated scripture. Two, memorize it section by section and make a plan, right? Section by section, maybe a verse a day. Three, be sure to get it precisely and confidently. Four, develop the habit of just putting it on tape loop in your mind. Five, have specific times of meditation on that passage, which I'm going to elaborate on now. Six, read and study about what other people have said about your passage. Seven, did I say seven? Oh, yeah. Discuss it with other people. Discuss what you're learning or ask other people what they know about that passage. Talk about it with people. And eight, be sure to record your insights, whether in the form of a testimony or journal or however you would do it. All right. Any questions about those before I talk about meditating? Meditating. Sure. I would pick your version and then consult other versions just to see what's going on. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And some people who are really serious get it in multiple versions. I don't know about that. But yeah, it's probably a good idea to pick a version and pick a more, how do I put it, respectable version. You know, I like doing it in the King James because the King James is not going anywhere. And I personally remember the King James better because it's full of, you know, strange words. And those just stick in my mind better. All right. So let me talk about meditation itself. And I have, if you're counting, five things here, sort of steps, okay? First, find a place that is quiet, where you won't be interrupted. This means, by the way, you can't be looking at the scripture on a phone or a computer, okay? Because by definition, those are interruption devices, right? A phone is designed to have multiple routes of interruption. So I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying don't look at the Bible on your phone. I'm simply saying if you're going to meditate on the Word of God, you can't do it with a computer or a phone, unless you can, whatever, shut down stuff. But just get your Bible, all right? It's got to be a quiet place where there's no interruption. And set aside, I'd say, 30 minutes. All right, so this first one is very important. No interruptions, quiet, relaxed, all of that. Two, invite the Holy Spirit. I can't stress this enough. You stop and you pray, not just in a perfunctory way, but you say, Holy Spirit, you live in me. And there's these promises that your presence is with me and my presence is with you. I am calling upon you to give me light, revelation, truth on this passage. All right? Every biblical text must be read in the living presence of Jesus. All right, there was one church writer who said Jesus was incarnated in four ways. Well, there's four senses of the word. The pre-incarnate Word of the Father with the Father in the bosom of the Father. He took on flesh, died, was raised again, went to be with the Father. He was incarnated again in the written word. And he gets incarnated in our lives as we take his word into us. All right? But the point here is to have a sense of the absolute gift and joy that the presence of God with us to teach us about his word is. Does that make sense? So this is very much being very deliberate and focused and aware to say, Holy Spirit, please come and teach me. Remember, the secret of the kingdom was revealed to the disciples who went and privately said, Lord, I don't understand. Teach me. All right, does that make sense? We do not have to be brilliant to get the word. We just have to get a hold of him and invite his presence. Three, spend time, as I said, 30 minutes or so, reading slowly, reflecting, reciting that passage. And it, by the way, even if you've memorized the passage, it's good to just have it before you and go back to it. And this really is just a slow pondering over what you're looking at. It really is just that. Involve your attention, your heart. Again, speak it. Ask questions of it. What does blessed mean? You know, is there a progression of blessed is the man that doesn't stand or walk, stand, sit? You know, does that make sense, someone? You just ask questions of it. Maybe write those questions down. Maybe you don't get answers to those questions. One author says that somebody meditating in this way does not always remain bent over his pages. He often leans back and closes his eyes over a line when he has been reading again, and its meaning spreads through his blood. I like that. It's slow thinking, scratching the head. This quote's from Eugene Peterson. There is always more to anything, any word or sentence that meets the eye. Meditation enters into the large backgrounds that are not immediately visible, that we overlooked the first time around. So it's just a slow, ponderous reading, waiting for some attention or waiting for some insight or truth. Four, pray and respond to whatever truth you may have gotten. All right, thank God for showing you some insight. And respond, Lord, I thank you for this insight, and I want to be a person who does this, and you know, I pray that you would help me do this, and I'm going to keep this scripture with me. But specifically, respond to God, because he's there, and he's teaching you. So specifically, interact with him about what he's taught you. And then five, somehow record what God has shown you and recollect it. Go back to it. Remember, Israel was called to put up stones, right? Columns that were to be a visible memorial. Dad, what's this column about? Ah, well, this is when God brought us across the Jordan. He brought us into the Promised Land. Whatever. You specifically remember and recollect the things that God has taught you about that passage. All right, any questions about that? Here's just a promise I want to make. Anybody who does this, who both memorizes and meditates, and again, you might figure out some better ways of doing this for yourself. These aren't absolute rules. These are just broad strokes. But anybody who does this with the intention of growing, of obeying God, of growing in likeness to God, will bear fruit if they persist. It will do miraculous things in your life, but it's something that must be persisted in. But the promise is that the power, again, is in the word. It's in the seed. And as we give ourselves to it, and as we give ourselves to letting God speak to us through his word, it will get in our lives in powerful, powerful ways. And again, it is the difference between knowing where something is that you can look up, some truth is, and knowing that truth in your bones, having a testimony of that truth in your life. All right, What? Anybody? Any questions about any of this before we come to the table? Oh yeah, there's a book I highly recommend on scripture meditation. It is written devotionally, 2 pages, 3 pages a chapter, 30-something chapters. Its whole point is to be read like a devotional, and it's mainly just encouragement and tips for learning to memorize and meditate on scripture. It is called Scripture by Heart, and the author is Kang. K-A-N-G, not the comic book character. Nobody knows that comic book character. Kit Kelly does, Kang the Conqueror. All right. So Scripture by Heart, Kang. I highly recommend it. It's an excellent book. It's not super heady, very short. Ryan's read it. Anybody else here read it? Kelly read it. Ryan's read it. Any comments on that book? It's good. All right. Any questions about any of this? This is like... This is one of those things that's like exercise. If you do it, you'll benefit. If you don't, you won't. Shannon.
Another question. I've noticed that most people who are meditating every day, it might be
'Cause somebody has said that the most basic freedom we have, I mean, if you're locked up in a prison and you can't do anything else, the most basic freedom you have is what you set your heart and mind on. That's the most basic freedom God has given us. And we all set our heart and minds on things all the time. And absolutely. We're all meditators by nature. It's just a question of what we meditate on. So absolutely. And again, what we set our heart and mind on is what we become. Remember, later on in Mark, Jesus says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out of your heart. So we're called to guard our heart with all diligence and to let the Holy Spirit sort of walk us through our heart and say, hey, look, there's a patch of weeds that needs to go. There's a tree that needs to come out. And that is what that's the beauty of it is we can't figure that out ourselves, but the Holy Spirit can help us and He can take us to passages. But then it's up to us to take that passage. By the way, sometimes people give people scriptures, in home group. Somebody says, I had a scripture for you. A lot of times it may be that you need to take that scripture. In fact, I would almost say if it's encouraging, the only way it's going to do anything in your life is if you take it and meditate on it, and memorize it and meditate on it. Somebody else had a... Ryan?
Just another thought I had is sometimes we get in a place of like spiritual boredom, or I don't feel like the word's been real good lately in my personal time, or I'm not meeting with God. And I think if we do this, it cuts right through all of that, and we'll find our personal spiritual life in God energized by meditating.
Yeah. And a lot of times when you determine to do that, you find your emotions come along. They come along after. Yeah. Yeah, anybody else? Leif.
Do you think that it might be worth memorizing parts of the Bible that encapsulate the whole gospel, or at least are you? There's one where somebody asked Jesus to basically says, well, you should love your God with all your soul and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. But that part of the Bible, if you memorize it, that's really the whole gospel in a concentrated form.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I think it's not a bad idea. I'm not as systematic about this, but it's not a bad idea to sort of make a plan for the things you want to memorize and why you want to memorize them. Maybe you want to share the gospel more, and so you memorize scriptures related to that or whatever. As it happens with the youth, we are memorizing Mark 12, 28 through 34, which is when the scribe comes and asks Jesus, well, what's the most important commandment? And they have that little dialogue where the scribe responds, oh, yeah, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all whole burnt offerings. It's a great passage in it. So, absolutely. I think it's a good idea to be, you know, there's some top 10 sort of scriptures that a lot of people memorize. I think Romans 8 is a good one, you know, for most people to know. A lot of people know Psalm 23, again, Psalm 1. But at any rate, I think it's a good idea to have a plan and sort of be deliberate about where you're going and figure out sometimes why you're memorizing what you're memorizing. But again, I specifically encourage people, if there's a truth of Christianity that you have not been able to live, I encourage you to find some scriptures related to that and dig in on those. All right, any other thought before we question or thought before we wrap up? Kelly. Yeah.
Get up, and kids usually are not much longer. So there's not a large quantity of time to be in the Word. But if there's consistent effort to memorize, then they can take it with them all day. I mean, for a lot of the working dads, there's lunch break. There's other opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I go back to that statement. Memorizing scripture is more important than it's your portable Bible in your heart. And for people that their job or their situation in life does not afford a lot of privacy or a lot of time where they're down, man, you always have that there. I think that's part of what the psalmist means when he says, I've kept the Lord always before me. They have had the scriptures as truth to return to. So, This is something I'd like to revisit every year. It's just sort of a topic I want to encourage people in and challenge people in on a regular basis. So I don't know how to fit that in also with the Billy Graham stuff, but maybe just that can be part of the discussion in home group as well. Just see where people are with that. Everybody has scriptures they've memorized, but I don't know that everybody meditates. I don't know that everybody goes back to those and stays on those, revisits them, refreshes them. I know for a lot of mine, I need to go back and, you know, there's some spots that I've lost, but keeping them alive. All right, well, stand up. We'll come to the table.